here we are. Just got to Denver. It's 11 p.m. On the 15th of September, and just reporting for 787 training.
Here's Bob, late as always. What the fuck, Bob?
I'm trying to shorten the day.
Here. Was it on?
Yeah, it's on.
All right.
And a photographic evidence of me crashing the rental car. Oh, come on. What's all these fucking...
Pretty exciting. It's the first new type rating I've gotten in a couple of years. The last one I got was the 777, I guess probably about 5 years ago.
That's what happens when Steve flies, too.
Where? So it's right up here, right?
I think it's that way.
What?
Isn't it that way?
No,
right, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's next to the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, it is. It's right in where the Holiday Inn is.
This is actually a differences course, meaning that it's kind of an abbreviated course because it's similar to the 777. I don't really agree that it's very similar to the 777.
There's your synoptic. Let's see, anything? No, there's nothing there that I really want to talk about.
We finished about 36 hours of CBT, computer-based training, over the last couple of weeks on our computers and iPads.
Yeah, because over there is like where we ate every time last time. Late at night, Loco Taco or whatever, Laredo Loco.
Anyway, this will be the most modern airplane that I fly, and looking forward to starting tomorrow. We report 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's it. Yeah.
All right, we're only 10 minutes late for the day one. It's all good.
Then we have the next evening we report at 10 p.m. for our FTD, which is basically a no motion sim. So we're just flipping switches and using the boxes and learning where everything is.
Then you're doing Victor 139.
Oh, see, no, I did need to go to VIA.
Now you do, yeah.
All the VIAs.
But 131.
But I don't think you have to actually put it over there, right?
And then the following night, we do a simulator, full motion sim. Then the night after that, we do another full motion sim. And then the night after that, we do our check rides and orals and get the type rating. So it's like five days total. It's Saturday, the 17th of September. We've been here. This is our second full day. Nothing really going on today, just studying. We've got FTD tonight, and I'm just going through memory items and limitations and profiles and walk around inspections and performance and all that stuff.
Now that the Boeing 787 has been around a while, Nomadic is starting to get calls to move them. Over the last 2 years, we've moved 5 Dreamliners, and we've been forced to use contract crews because neither Bob nor I were rated in the aircraft.
It's supposed to be one of the biggest airline training centers in the country. It's definitely the biggest one that we use.
The 777 to 787 differences course just came into existence recently, a fact we learned while in 767 recurrent training, also at FTI in Denver just this past February. Bob and I were originally planning to train over the summer because that's usually the slowest period at Nomadic, but we just couldn't make it work. Instead, we deferred it until September, which is normally before the fall push into the fourth quarter chaos. Of course, thanks to Murphy's Law, a few operations popped up for the week that we were in training, and none of them went smoothly. So there was also that distraction to contend with on top of the weeks of training packed into 5 days.
We just finished day one of ground school, and we're now in my room, and Bob's doing his IACRA.
Yeah, you mean trying to do my IACRA. I can't.
Yeah. Something that he was supposed to do a week ago or more.
Day one of training has come to an end, and now we're eating tacos.
Mezcal margaritas.
I think it was the morning of day 3 in Denver when we got word from operations that one of our 767 flights rejected takeoff in Cairo with a persistent takeoff config warning. The airplane was a former 2E767-300ER that Bob and I flew from storage in Arizona to Singapore in the beginning of the summer. The aircraft was converted to a BCF freighter and was now being delivered to Icelandair, the new operator. Over breakfast, we conferenced in the crew, orchestrated the maintenance response, and frantically worked to recrew another 767 in Abu Dhabi that this same crew was supposed to fly after this aircraft was delivered. With the maintenance delay and no estimated release in sight, there was no way they could finish this trip, so we decided to send them straight to Abu Dhabi for the LATAM airplane, and then fly in another crew to finish up the Icelandair delivery after maintenance.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the plan. I think since we've got LATAM in Abu Dhabi coming up, I think we're going to get you guys over there to cover that trip. And then, meanwhile, while they're troubleshooting this airplane and figuring it out, we're going to have two guys head over there tomorrow.
It's shockingly rare for us to ground an airplane en route, and when it happens, it often impacts other trips on the schedule with a cascading effect. Getting out of a jam with minimal financial impact is always the goal. As business owners, our role in the company is somewhat all-encompassing. Sometimes serving as crews, planners, dispatchers, as admin, maintenance control, accounting, and even handling menial tasks like arranging hotels or travel in a pinch. As we've grown as a business, we've hired people that have drastically reduced how often we have to personally deal with these outside tasks, but when things go sideways, it's always all hands on deck. Before I forget, my overall takeaway from 787 training is that the airplane is strangely kind of a Boeing-Airbus hybrid almost, borrowing concepts and logic from both platforms. It's really an easy machine to operate, and it won't be hard to remain proficient in as yet another rating to stay current on. Now that the 787 course is behind us, Bob and I now hold 11 type ratings apiece, and we're definitely looking forward to putting this one to use.
All right, it's Monday, the 26th of September. For some perspective, I got home from 787 training last Wednesday, and then on Friday, I went out to Pittsburgh with my family to visit my son for family day at the University of Pittsburgh. And then I got home yesterday, Sunday, and tonight I'm leaving for this next trip.
It's pretty atypical that a trip comes up where I fly a route that I've never done before. And this trip was even more unique in that it would take me farther south than I've ever been. 65 degrees south, actually, where true north reference versus magnetic is used by the instruments and Antarctic sea ice is visible. This was yet another LATAM 767-300ER going to Singapore for cargo conversion. And instead of coming out of Miami, this one originated in Santiago, Chile. I kicked things off by catching a flight to Miami where I connected to Santiago on American. By coincidence, the airplane I boarded in Philly was the exact same aircraft I'd ride on to Santiago. I did, of course, have to get out in Miami and hang out in the lounge while they turned the aircraft for the overnight long haul. I slept the entire way down and woke up about 10 minutes from landing as the windows brightened. The approach into Santiago, even from the passenger seats, is beautiful, coming in from the northeast over the Andes and descending into the lowlands where the city and the airport is situated. Once in Santiago, I'd meet up with Wes. Wes Gardner is not only a full-time pilot at Nomadic, he's also a VP-level manager for our company and runs the Asia-Pacific office. Wes is Canadian, from Edmonton, but lives with his family in Bangkok, Thailand as an expat. Wes is a solid pilot and an awesome guy. He spent the bulk of his career as a bush pilot in the far north and also worked as a senior management pilot at a Part 121 airline operating 767s. Wes has been working with Bob and I for about 5 years now. He's an integral part of the operation, and because of that, he doesn't get to fly as much as he'd like to. So whenever the opportunity does come up for him to fly, he gets priority. I love working with him, and despite talking on the phone daily, we don't get to hang out much in person, so I was really happy to be able to fly this one with him. We were about 40 minutes late to the aircraft, but it didn't really matter because it appeared they weren't ready for us either. Apparently, there was some confusion as to whether LATAM dispatch or Nomadic dispatch was acquiring the departure permit as well, so that led to another hour of delay. We always do a thorough pre-flight before operating, but this flight was unique in that there was literally no viable en route alternate airports as we crossed the South Pacific, so we did an extra thorough job inspecting things before closing the door. In the airline world, the Part 121 regulations contain provisions for ETOPS, which stands for Extended Range Twin Engine Operations Performance Standards. Those regulations ensure a higher level of safety for the flying public by ensuring that twin-engine aircraft can reach a suitable landing site in the event of a depressurization or engine failure en route. For ferry flights, we operate under Part 91, so ETOPS does not apply. This enables us to operate in some very remote areas in order to most efficiently get empty aircraft from point A to point B, while operating an aircraft not really designed for ultra-long-haul flying. We still plan flights with ETOPS in mind, and we have a variety of alternate procedures to ensure that we're not going swimming in the event that we lose pressurization and have to descend to a lower altitude. These procedures involve carrying more pressure-demand oxygen than normally required, with the requirement to remain higher for longer in the event of a depress event.
Well, now we're waiting on catering, that's it. We've got fuel, we've got a flight plan, we've got a clearance, we've got everything, but we do not have catering, and that is a problem. Especially water, you know? 13-hour flight, fucking water.
As we waited for catering, our hopes of a nice afternoon out and about in Auckland began to fade. I purposely planned this one to account for some extra downtime in one of my favorite cities.
Hola, buenas.
Hola.
Well, we got our catering, but unfortunately our air chiller is not good. It keeps faulting. We're going to have to eat early and often because the thing is just going to stop working. Food's going to end up going bad. Either that or we just have to cook the bacteria off of it in high heat for a long period of time. Ugh, it went out again, making me crazy. It's got this air chiller that, you know, pump air into the galley carts. If you have the right kind of galley cart, which we don't, you have to have a receptacle in the back for the air to keep stuff cool in there. So unfortunately, we're shit out of luck with that.
Said and done, we lost 4 hours with the delays. We were now scheduled to arrive Auckland well into the evening, so at best, we'd get a quick dinner at the hotel. We were eager to get moving and fired the jet up quickly. The taxi route wasn't short either. From our parking location on the apron, our assigned runway was as far away as you could get. We'd depart straight out to the south along the coast and maintain that course for nearly 2 hours. I was actually excited to be charting new territory for myself on this unusual routing.
It's a big mountain, man.
Nomad 290, wind 110 degrees 3 knots, runway 17 right, clear for takeoff.
We spend like 99% of the time flying on autopilot, so I almost always hand-fly the departures and approaches. Even without passengers and cargo, this airplane was heavy. 363,000 pounds to be exact.
That's five.
This is because we took full fuel. 72.5 tons of it. Nearly 24,000 gallons. The leg was only 12.5 hours, and the airplane could fly well over 16. But remember, we had to account for flying in the most desolate airspace on the planet. We'd need that extra gas to reach land in the event of an emergency.
Yeah.
One. Mike 290, contact Santiago frequency 119 or decimal 10.
Everyone knows the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. When most of us think about the layout of the continents and the oceans on planet Earth, we visualize a map. A flat map, known as a Mercator projection. The Earth, however, is not flat. It's a sphere, and because of that, the straight line path isn't as obvious because the straight line arcs around that sphere. Grab a globe and cut a piece of string, run it between Santiago and Auckland. You'll find that that string comes within a few hundred miles of the coast of Antarctica. This is called the Great Circle Path. There is very, very little traffic along the track we took. Only a few airlines fly between South America and Australasia, and no real published tracks or airways exist. Our flight plan was based on random route points at each 10 degrees of longitude. While we crossed, there were no other aircraft for over 1,000 miles in any direction. For a period of about 9 hours, we might as well have been on the moon. Other than making position reports roughly every hour, there really isn't anything to do up there besides talk, read, listen to music and podcasts, cook, eat, walk around the back. I do try to move around and keep my blood flowing and brain turning. Having a cabin devoid of seats opened up some options. First 4 hours were like any other Pacific crossing, clouds below, every now and then white-capped ocean peeking through.
Oh, look. Yeah, they're just huge ice floes. It looks like terrain, but it's like just the dark blue ocean with like these big sheets of ice that are just like floating, man.
I guess I never really thought about what the sea would look like at 65 degrees south. I was definitely hoping for a break in the clouds so that I could inspect the views. At 64 south, the clouds broke and we saw what looked like land masses below us. Obviously, this was an illusion. My brain saw the dark sea as land and the white horizon-long strips of sea ice as the sea. In the Arctic, a place I see regularly, the Arctic Circle is land, but the polar region is ice floating on the sea. The Antarctic is the opposite, a landmass surrounded by sea, all covered in ice. It was wild. Wes and I were mesmerized by the view, especially in the hours-long sunset, considering we were following the sun. I definitely didn't expect to see anything like what I saw. By 65 degrees south, the whole sea was frozen with cracks that just stretched on forever. The vastness of it, to comprehend the scale from 41,000 feet, is tough. For scale, this is what London looks like from the same altitude. It's wild to think about how vast and frozen and barren this section of ocean is. We didn't see land until New Zealand on approach, and even in the overcast and rain, the place is unbelievably scenic. 12 hours after taking off 4 hours late, the sun was setting, the rain was pouring, it had been a long-ass day, and we were really looking forward to about 14 hours of rest. I booked us the Hyatt downtown for the location, but all the restaurants would be closed by the time we got there. Didn't matter, bed and a shower, in that order.
Medic 290 Tower, good evening. You are number 2 for runway 05 right. Qantas 138 behind the ATR short final line of runway 05 right behind.
Right behind the landing, ATR 05 right, Qantas 148.
We move airplanes in and out of New Zealand pretty frequently. Airwork, a New Zealand-based cargo airline, is here, and over the years we've delivered them plenty of 737 and 757 freighters. The last time I was in Auckland was over a year ago, during the thick of the pandemic. The COVID policy in New Zealand allowed us to enter the country for rest but remain in strict quarantine during the stay, with a military escort to and from the designated downtown hotel.
Zealand 205 Lima, Auckland. Hello,
Auckland is a great city with friendly people, excellent food, and no shortage of things to do and see. When I heard that we had the opportunity to overnight here on the trip, I immediately planned a long overnight and started researching restaurants I wanted to eat at. It was a damn shame that our delays killed that plan, but I was at least still excited to stay at a great hotel on the waterfront. Even that, however, was ruined by the news we received once we powered up our phones at the gate.
Thank you.